So this is where we're going to go. I want to go into Daniel. Turn your Bibles. This is called Girlfriend's Bible Study, okay? So I'm going to give you a little warning. I'm doing a lot of scripture today, okay? A lot, okay? Because, I mean, where can you talk about Jesus and not get into the Word of God? So we're going to just get into the Word, okay? So I'm going to try and whiz through this. Daniel 3:22. There's a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of you remember that story? Especially when you were a kid, right? You remember the, like, flannel board and your teacher talking about it? It's probably one of the coolest stories I love telling my kids because they really understand it. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow down to the false god. And so they took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said, well, if you don't, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, okay? And we're going to pick it up in Daniel 3:22-25. And here we go. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There were two men that brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. Before they even threw them in, these two men died because it was so hot. Okay, so that'll give you a glimpse of what was ahead of them. In verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of a fire? They answered the king, true, O king. Verse 25, look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of this fire, and they are not hurt. And one in the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, don't tell me Jesus doesn't show up on the scene, that he doesn't come into the room, that he doesn't come on our behalf. So here it was, and you guys say, well, that's Old Testament. You know, it says in the form of the Son of Man. If you look into it, it'll say capital A. This is called a Christophany. Can you say Christophany? Okay, Christophany, okay, is a reincarnate appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. Okay, it's before he came in flesh. Okay, so that's what a Christophany is. It's when Jesus came in many different forms, and this was one of the instances. And he came and he saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the flames of hell that had their names on it, right? That was made for them. That furnace was ready for them, right? The king had, he knew that they were going to be burned up and demolished, right? But what happened? Jesus came and he saved them from the flames of hell. He saved them from death. That is a beautiful picture of what happens when we go into the New Testament. And he died on the cross for us. And he poured out his blood for us. And he saved us from the flames, fiery furnace of hell. And he knew your name. And he knew where you were going. And he showed up on the scene. And he took it for you. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you continue in the story, they walked out of there with not even a singed hair. Now that's my God. Now that's the Jesus we're talking about. And this is where we're going today, girls. Let's talk about who he is. He has saved his people from the flames, but let's now go into, we're going to walk into, because listen, I could have done the Old Testament for like 10 weeks itself, because it's amazing when Jesus shows up on the scene what we can do. But now we're going to get into the New Testament because it is powerful. And in fact, I have to tell you, I challenge you to begin reading just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? Just go there. Make that like a Bible study for yourself. And start writing down every time you see Jesus come onto the scene, all right? I want you to do that on your own. Because we're going to get into just a couple, but I had to break it down. Pastor Dan sat down with me and was like, this ain't, you got to break this down. You don't got that much time, Jess. So I tried to pick the best ones that would just say the story across the board and touch our hearts as girls, okay? So let's look at what happened when he came on the scene. Number one, he was born. He was born. When Jesus was born, he rumbled kingdoms. He stirred up conflict, but he brought love. When he came on the scene, the king, do you remember that? He was all nervous when he was talking to the wise men. He was trying to get those wise men to tell him where that child was born. Because there was a whisper going through the land that there is a child to be born, a savior. He showed up here on earth in flesh form to a virgin in a manger. I mean, I don't know what other kind of crazy way to show up. I mean, you'd think the king of the universe, the God himself, would show up in all his glory, like, oh, you know, and come down from heaven. But no, he chose to come in the form of a babe. And right when he came, there were rumblings in the kingdom. And there was love that was brought into this world like a love we have never, ever known before. And he broke through heaven and earth, and he came in the form of a babe just for you and I. Number two, he fulfilled a prophecy. I'm going to read this one, Luke 4. Okay, go turn with me to Luke 4. I'm not hearing pages. Are you guys using your Bibles? This is like the new generation. I'm on my phone. Okay, here we go. You ready? Because this is some powerful stuff. Luke 4, 16. Now remember, he fulfilled prophecy, okay? So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and it was the custom that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed a book from the prophet Isaiah. And he had opened the book, and he found the place where it was written. Now, check this out. Here's Jesus himself, right? He's going in a synagogue. They're handing him a book and telling him to read it. Now, first of all, I'm thinking to myself, do they know who they were handing this book to? You know, I mean, like, how foolish I would have felt. You know, here, read the Bible at that time. You know, here you go, read this. Yeah, I mean, really? So then he reads it, and I love that Jesus reads this. And he opens it up, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you think the book said upon me? He's reading it, and he's talking about himself to these people. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I don't know what about you, but I would have stood there and I would have been like, he thinks he did all that? That's what they thought. Then he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Powerful stuff. Right there before them, he had fulfilled prophecy. He had shown them that what was written so long ago, that there he was reading the word right in front of them and going, but they didn't know him. Careful that we are not ones to not know him when he shows up on the scene. Shame on us when he comes into the room and we ignore our king. Or we don't value what he's telling us. Or we don't value what his opinion is. You better tap into the Holy Spirit, girls, because that's what he left for us. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will show you. He will teach you. And that they had Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. Same thing. And here we go. We are walking into the room. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. He's standing in front of me. He's with me every day. I take him everywhere I go. I don't use a restroom without the Holy Spirit. What a thought. But that's where we live, and that's where we got to live. We got to think that way. When we turn on the TV, what do we have in the Holy Spirit watch? What are we watching with Jesus? Because that's embarrassing. We don't think about that. We don't take God in those contexts. We don't think of him that way. Here he was right in front of him, fulfilling prophecy that these people worshiped. These people's whole theology was based on this book. And here he is reading it, and they didn't even recognize him. Shame. Shame on them. Not shame on us because we know too much. 3, he casts out demons. You say, oh, that's kind of that creepy stuff, Pastor Jess. Yeah, it's real. There's a spiritual world and there is a physical world. We are battling in a spiritual world. You do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against every principality of darkness. So many times you don't realize that what you're coming up against is demonic. So many times you don't realize what you're talking to is demonic. And you go, oh girl, I know my husband's demonic. No, I'm not talking about your man that makes you mad. No, I don't know, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe. So, but there were demons very evident. I believe this day and age, we just drug the demons. We don't want to look at what's going on around us, and we don't want to explain what that is, so we just, here, take some medicine and just oppress it. Listen, not all of it is that way. I'm not saying that, because not every situation is that. But I do believe that that's why we don't see them just walking around on the streets as much as you normally do. You go to Africa, they're right there, right, Pastor Eleanor? India, I went to Mexico, they were chasing me. I'm not kidding, chasing me. and yelling at me, this witch was chasing me. And I realized, she sees the light in me, doesn't she? That's a demon, and it recognizes, and he doesn't want me on its street. It was chasing me off its street, you know, because I was walking down the street. And let me just say, when you can understand that you are living in two worlds, you can deny it all you want, but you are. What do you think all those crazy movies are about, paranormal and all these, like, kooky, wooky? Shame on you for watching that. You're letting the devil right in. Letting the devil right in. You got the power of Jesus Christ. How dare we go and we just take ourselves and we put ourselves in a situation, in a spiritual world that you're not equipped for yet. Now, if you're equipped, you're not even going to go there. I don't go there. I don't go there. Why would I walk into darkness when I am the light? Listen, girls, you got to start thinking about yourself differently, because if we're supposed to be like Jesus Christ, he didn't walk into darkness. He was the light in the darkness. It was surrounding him. It is surrounding us. Everywhere you go, you are going to come across something that is going to be an opposition for you. And you have to know that, hey, there's power behind this, and I have the power of Jesus Christ. But we're going to talk about demon possession, okay? So let's go there, Luke 4:33. Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?" Do you notice they recognized him right away? They knew who he was. He knew who they were too. All right? "Did you come to destroy us?" They're in fear. "I know you are the Holy One of God." Now listen, if the demons know that he's Jesus Christ, why is it so hard for us to get it? Do you ever think about that? Like, they recognize that. And it's funny because when you have Jesus living on the inside of you and things happen, have you ever had something really weird happen? And you're like, that was weird. Like, why did that person snap at me like that? And why did that happen? Or just something odd. Just can you go back into a time in your life where you're like, listen, it's probably demonic. It was probably an attack from the enemy. It was probably something that was just off. If it's off, you need to just believe God and start praying in tongues and get your word out, get your sword out. In verse 35, "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.'" He didn't even give him any time of the day. He didn't even answer his questions. He didn't need to justify who he was. He was who he was. And you have to listen to me, because I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and get out, be quiet, shut up, and move on. And you know what? You don't need to be wasting your time with demons, girls. Don't be dabbling in witchcraft and voodoo and seances, and you watch that show, The Medium, on TLC. Shame on you. It's demonic. Don't fool yourself. That's demonic. Yeah, she's channeling something, but it ain't our God. So listen, we need to get a vision here. We need to understand what we're coming up against. I was watching TV the other day, and they were talking about witchcraft, and they were putting it in such a beautiful light that I was like, I was just like appalled, you know, like, how cool is that? You know, it was like an LA thing, like LA was just so cool, you know, like we do witchcraft or whatever. And I'm just like, you're so stupid, you're on your way to hell. Like, you're dabbling with something way bigger than you even understand what you're dabbling in. And, you know, and here's Jesus. He didn't let it waste his time. He didn't let these demons control him. He didn't let them take away what he had. No, listen, girls, whenever you're coming across something demonic, let me give you a little tip. You ready for it? If it's breeding chaos and confusion, it's not of God. It's demonic. God operates in order and clarity and peace. All right? This is a little tip. So he cast this demon out. And when the demon had been thrown into the midst, it came out of him and it did not hurt him. They were all amazed. They spoke among themselves. What word is this for the authority and power that he commands of the unclean spirits? And they come out. They were still like, who is this man? First he's in the synagogue telling us that he's the one to fulfill the prophecy. Now he just casts this demon out. Who is this guy? Hello? Hello? We would probably be there going, yeah, who is he? I don't know. You know, like we would probably just be equally. But he delivers us from torment. He delivers us from chains. He delivers you from bondage. If you've ever seen demons come out of somebody, listen, The Exorcist is not a good movie for you to be watching, okay? But there are real, these are real issues. These are real things that do happen, and you can be delivered, and people in your world can be. Now listen, that is a way deeper subject. We could do a whole message on that because it could get cuckoo weird, and we ain't cuckoo weird around here. So this is what we're going to do. If you do have questions, come talk to the pastors about it. We'll explain it to you. If you're wondering if some weird things are happening in your home and what's going on, listen, girls, take note. Oh, wait, that might be something demonic. And if Jesus casted the demons, I can cast them out of my house. I can take authority over my home. I can take authority over my kids. Listen, if he did it, we could do it, all right? 4, he changes destinies. Luke 5:3. Let's get in there. Luke 5:3. I love this because, you know, here's a bunch of men just minding their own business. And here's Jesus. He walks onto the boat. Okay? So it was that in the multitude, he pressed on to hear the word of God, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And they saw 2 boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats with Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. Okay, so check this out. Jesus gets on your boat. You're minding your own business. He hops on your boat. But you don't know it's Jesus, right? So who is this man? Who is this guy? Hopping on my boat, then asking me to move my boat. I had parked my boat. I was cleaning my nets. I was done. All right? So Jesus gets on his boat. He sat down. He gets on the boat. Then he asked him to put it out from the land a bit. And then he sat and he taught the multitudes from the boat. So he had swarms of people following him. And he taught from the boat so that they couldn't get to, you know, good smart guy, right? Okay, so verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let out your nets for a catch. Now remember, they are just like done. They're not even. But Simon says and answers to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I have been fishing for days with family members, and we have caught nothing. And let me just say, it is very annoying. So if some guy ever came up to me and said, oh, come on, just a little bit more, I'd be like, I'm bored. We're done. Like, no, nothing's happening here. But Jesus says, no, come on, throw it back out there. Do it again. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. When Jesus comes on the scene, he provides more than enough. When Jesus comes on the scene, he begins to change your destiny. Let's move on and see what he says to them. So their nets are breaking. So they are signaled to their partners and others that came up and helped them, and they filled their boats. I'm going to move on to verse 10, actually verse 9. And for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. Verse 10, and so they were with James and John and the son of Zebedee, and who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. He changed his destiny. He was just a fisherman, a fish. And after all of that, Jesus showed him an example, showed him who he was, showed him the power, showed him his goodness, showed him that he can meet every need. And then he says, but now you're not going to catch fish. You're going to catch men. He changed his destiny. He changed the direction of life at that moment for this man. He changed their whole purpose of living. There's no longer living for fish, but they're living for men. Pretty amazing. God is going to come onto your scene. He's going to come into your homes. He's going to come onto the scene in your marriage, and he's going to change your destiny. But you have to be willing to let him onto your boat. You have to be willing to be there and listen to what he's saying, even though the request may not make sense. Maybe he walks into our hearts and he speaks a little something to you and you go, I don't think that's God. Listen, then you hear it again. Then you hear it again. Hello, girls. He's talking to his girl, and he wants you to know that he's about to change your destiny. Because when you can change your destiny for his purpose, then your fulfilled call will come to a victory in the end of our lives. You see, you're not here just because. I know people have probably told you you're here just because. No, you're not here just because. You are called to be fishers of men. Not just Pastor Jess and Pastor Eleanor, if we got a pastor in front of our name. No, you are a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are here because you love him. You are here because you want to hear the word. You are here because you have a purpose and a call and a destiny. And Jesus saw that in these men, and he said, enough is enough. You are now going to be fishers of men. And I believe God is telling us that he's about to change our destiny here at the Rock Church and Rural Outreach Center, and that you are going to be fishers of men. And so let's just take a hold of that. Number 5, he heals the sick. He heals the sick. You're sick in your body. You know somebody that's sick. Everybody could probably raise their hand in here, right? Chapter 5, verse 12. You ready? And it had happened that there was a certain city. Behold, a man who was full of leprosy. Do you guys know what leprosy is? Leprosy is disgusting. It was a disease that would eat the parts of your body, and it would peel away things as your nose would be gone, your lips would be gone, your ears would be gone, your fingers would, it was a horrible disease. They had to put you to the side outside the city because it was so contagious. So this man who had leprosy approaches Jesus. Now listen to me. He should not be approaching anyone because they knew that they were not allowed to be around people. So, you know, can you imagine getting the news that you have leprosy and you have to leave your family? You have to leave your wife. You have to leave your children. You have to leave your, say you're the mom. You have to leave your husband and your children. And you are not allowed to talk to them again. They didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't have any form of communication, you know, when you don't have to be together. No, they did not. They were cut off from society. They were no longer considered human and good enough to be around others. So this man approaches Jesus, and I just love this. He has leprosy, and he fell on his face, and he implored him, and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The desperation in this man, I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. Verse 13, I love this. Then he put out his hand, and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left from him. He healed the sick. He is not a respecter of persons. This man had faith, and God answered it. This man believed, and Jesus was there, and he healed him. God is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he is the same forever. So why do we put up with things we should not put up with? Girls, enough is enough. It might be something as stupid as a repetitive cough or something like that. Or it might be some serious sickness. But this is what I have to say. It doesn't matter if it's a cough or if it's cancer. God came, he died on that cross so that he would heal us. And he left that for us. And we need to take a hold of what he has for us. Because if we're not tapping into who this Jesus is, then what are we doing? What are we doing? Oh yeah, I know who he is. I love him. Yeah, I go to church every once in a while. No, shame on us. This is a man who wants me healed. I'm not putting up with this. I'm gonna get off my butt today. I'm gonna start speaking the word. I'm gonna tell the devil to go to hell because I got power over demons. I'm not letting sickness come on my body. Listen, girls, he came and did it so we don't have to put up with it. We don't. He heals the sick. Number six, he forgives sins. Oh, thank you, God, because I am number one sinner right here, okay? Matthew 5, he forgives sins. Now it had happened that on the days there was a certain teaching that the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting, verse 17, I'm sorry, and by who had come to every town of Galilee and Jerusalem. So this is where they say that the paralytic man, remember this story, I'm going to just kind of sum it up so I don't have to read all these verses. They want to get him in to Jesus because they know that he's a healer, he's healing. So they pull him through the roof, which is just like mind-boggling to me. I'm like, how in the world did they do that back then? You know what I mean? Like, to carry a grown man on the roof and then cut a hole in the roof and then drop him down right where Jesus is at. I mean, that's like, really? Like that, these guys had to really know what they were doing. So they drop this guy down, right? And here we go. We're going to pick it up in verse 19. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because the crowd, they went to the housetop. They let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. 20. When he saw their faith. When he saw your faith, check yourselves, girls. We got to check ourselves. Are we in faith? Are we in faith? Am I in faith? He says, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. Awesome. Your sins are forgiven. Okay, well, wait a second. Didn't he get dropped down to get healed? Wait, that's not what he came for. Yes, it is what he came for. Because when you are a sinner and you come before the King of Kings, who is pure and holy, you have to repent. You have to get rid of all of those things that are in us and on us and want to stick to us and the sin natures of our fleshly desires. You have to get rid of that and be forgiven by Jesus. And then he can begin to do a work inside of us. Okay? So first he had to heal this man of his sin. Does that make sense? Now the man didn't even know he needed that, right? So verse 21, and then the scribes and the Pharisees began reasoning and saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, when he knew what they were thinking, he knew what's going on. He ain't stupid. He's like, mm-hmm. And he answered to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, that your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? But when you know the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic man, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. First, he forgave his sins. Second, he healed him. First, he forgave his sins. He's forgiven us. He died on that cross so that we can come before him on a daily basis and say, here I am, I'm a mess. I'm a hot mess, God. I totally screwed up today. I totally have messed up in my past. I totally was walking down the wrong path. Oh, but Lord, I need you, Jesus, and forgive me of my sins. And you know what? When you come before the Lord and you repent, he forgives you. And all of a sudden, the power of God begins to work in your life and on your behalf and in your world. Because until we get to that point, you are not going to see change. So he forgives the sinner. Number seven, he redeems what was lost. Luke 5:27. Is this okay? I know it's a lot of scripture. We're going through a lot, right? Are you guys okay? You hanging? All right. Here we go. Luke 5:27. Hold on. Okay. After these things, he went out and he saw the tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. He said to him, follow me. So he left, he rose up, and then Levi gave him a great feast. And then I'm going to go down to the last verse, but all the Pharisees got upset with him that he's hanging out with this Levi guy, you know, tax collector, sinner. Why would you be with the sinners, God? What are you doing? Okay. And so he goes, and so they're mad at him. And they say to him in verse 30, and their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples saying, what do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. If you're good, are you going to go to the doctor? No. But if you are, what are you going to do? You're going to pick up the phone, you're going to make a call, right? He's saying, these people need me. They don't know they need me, but they need me. And so I'm here. He's there. All right? Verse 32, I have come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He sits down and he redeems everything back to him. He takes the sinner out of hell and he redeems them to heaven. He takes your brother and your sister and your auntie and your uncle that you go, oh Lord, I just don't know if they're gonna come around. And he says, oh, I'll go sit with them in their room. I'll go sit with them in the car. You just keep ministering to them. You just keep dropping little tidbits. You keep planting those seeds and I'm gonna reap that harvest and I'm gonna go sit with them and I'm gonna have a heart to heart with them one day and they're gonna have an encounter with me because of your prayers. And you know what? He went and he sat with the tax collector. That wasn't cool of him, right? No, it was awesome of him because that tax collector needed salvation more than anybody else. And he saw the need and he redeemed them back to himself. He redeemed them back to himself. Take that for your family. He redeems everything that's been lost back to himself. Number eight, he teaches us how to live. I don't know about you, but living, it's not always so easy, is it? Something comes up and you're like, what am I supposed to do about that? And that stinks. And I've made the wrong decision on that. And I really screwed up. And, you know, Pastor Jess probably on a weekly basis goes, I screwed up, I messed up to somebody. Whether it be kids, husband, friends, family, coworkers, whatever. I'm a mess up. And I have to say that I am so grateful that when I do screw up, I can get into this word and go, okay, I didn't do that, but let me find out how to do that. And let me see what Jesus says about it. And I love how he talks about the Beatitudes in Luke 6. Go back and read that. Write this down because I'm not going to go through it all because he teaches us throughout the whole Word of God. So I cannot give that all to you. So we're going to jump over this, okay? But go to Luke 6 and Luke 8. Those are really great places for you to start. And he begins to teach us how to live, how to have a good attitude, how to trust him, how not to worry, what to do in life. And God has our backs, girls. But listen, you got to do your part. You can't expect me to get up here and teach you about Jesus and you go home and do nothing about him. I can't do that. I can't get you to heaven. I wish I could. I could do my part and tell you about Jesus and tell you how to get there and tell you how to live and what he's taught us. But then you got to go home and you got to check this word for yourself. Because what if I screw up? What if I say something wrong? Because I am human. And listen, you better love the word of God so much that you go back and go, okay, wait, she went to that scripture. And you find out what God's word says for yourself. Because this is the living word of God. It is the breath of life. And it has every answer to every question you may have. It has every answer to every brokenness piece of your life. He will restore what has been lost back to you. But you have to love him enough to go get in his word and find out what it is he's teaching us. Now, you could do that by getting your butt into church and not just on one service a week. All right, girls? Get your butt in church more than one service a week. Because you know what? The world is coming at you every day. You need to get refilled back up so that you can go back out onto your battleground. All right? So here we go. He teaches us how to live life. Thank you, Lord, that you teach us. Number 9, he raises the dead. You go, I've never seen that. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead. That's just crazy. We don't see it like they used to see it, right? We don't. I actually have a friend, and his mom prayed over a little girl who had drowned. She was at the beach. This little girl drowned in the ocean. And she said she was just hanging out with her kids at the beach. And all of a sudden, the power of God came on and he said, go lay hands on that little girl. They didn't know her. She ran over to the scene. She laid hands on the little girl. The little girl started to breathe. She was raised from the dead. And I thought to myself, really? He used you and not me? Like, why? But I thought that was just so powerful. Here's this woman who loves God, who's used by the King of Kings, who God knows that she was in that moment for that time. And that little girl was raised from the dead nowadays, girls, not just in the Bible, nowadays. And God used her because she was available and willing. And she obviously was tapped into the Holy Spirit at that moment because she knew what she needed to do at that moment. Did you ever think that God would use you in that way? Did you ever think that you're a walking epistle and that you are going to do signs and miracles and wonders just as he has, as we are reading, he will use you in those ways. I believe that in this day and age, especially these end times, that we are going to see God in a greater way than we've ever seen him. And you better know that you know who he is, because there are going to be signs, miracles, and wonders, because he's going to show off to this nasty world and he's going to show them who he is. And anybody that doubted him cannot doubt him, just as in these days, he proved himself. He proved himself. Luke 7:11. Amen. Luke 7:11. Let's go there. Let's hear about how he raised this person. Now it had happened on that day that he went into the city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, and behold, a dead man was being carried out. And the son of his mother, and she was a widow. So she was a widow. I mean, this was it. This was her kid and he died. So her husband died, right? And now her kid's dead. Poor thing. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, do not weep. Oh, I just love how tender he is, isn't he? Verse 14. Then he came, he touched the open coffin. And those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Oh, come on now. Come on now. If you saw that, what would you think? Run. And why would we think run? Because the world is pushing witchcraft and kooky and weird into us, where we should be like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. This is what, of course my God did that. Of course he did. You see, you got to change your thinking, girls. We got to change our thinking. We can't be afraid of signs, miracles, and wonders. We got to be ready for signs, miracles, and wonders. We got to be ready to be the vessels that God is going to use, that he's going to take our hands and he's going to take our feet and he's going to put us at the right moment and at the right place to be at that moment. And you know what? I believe we're going to see kids raised from the dead. And I believe that we're going to see tumors fall off people. And I believe that we're going to see revival in our church. And I believe it's starting with the youth, because a young generation is passionate and there's nothing stopping them from running towards God. And you know what, girls? We need to be praying for our youth this week. We need to be praying for them, because I believe that the dead are going to be raised through their hands. They are the next generation to bring in to usher in God. And we are in this together, and let's cheer each other on and let's believe God. What is dead in your life? What's been dead in your life? What have you just allowed to die in your heart and you just left it there? Maybe God is saying to you, just as I can raise the dead, it is time for you to allow me to raise up that dream that you pushed so deep down that you forgot about. To raise up that belief for a family member for their salvation, because you've just seen them go too far and this is too hard and this is just not going to work. No, God says, listen, it's time to raise that from the dead. And you begin to get in faith and you don't let those things die in your heart. Don't let those dreams die in your heart. You're not too old to do it. You're not too young to do it. You're not too much of a mama to do it. God has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for you and for your family and for everything that we do. He has our steps ordained. And it is time to not let these things die, but it is time to allow these things to come alive inside of our hearts and inside of what God, what do you want, Lord? Lord, that it would become alive in me so that your name would be glorified. And see, guys, if we could get outside of ourselves, oh, the dead isn't even an obstacle for us. Oh, that's dead. Well, that doesn't mean nothing to me. So it's dead. You told me no. good. Tell me no. Go ahead. Tell me no. Tell me I'm going to die of cancer. Go ahead. Because that ain't dead. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I know that by his stripes I'm healed. You tell me that there's no hope for my marriage. Oh, no, that ain't dead in my book. Because I believe in God that no weapon formed against my family will prosper. And I'm going to choose life. And listen. Choose life. Choose life, girls. He came and died so we can choose life. He didn't come and die so we could just die with everything that hurts us and disappoints us and makes us sad and looks too overwhelming. Come on. He says, listen, I can raise the dead. I can do anything. I can raise anything back to life. Number 10, he provides for every single need. We got lots of needs in this room, don't we? I got lots of needs. Oh, my God. But God. But God, in what you lack, girls, he lacks nothing. In what is weak, he is strong. In what is not enough, he is more than enough. You see, he provides for every possible need. And in Luke 9, let's read our last one for today, okay? Luke 9, 13 through 17. I just love the word. I know there's a lot of scripture, a lot of stories, but man, it's a good Bible study. Love studying the word of God. Luke 9, 13. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. Now, let me just set this up for you real quick, okay? They are going in and they are preaching to thousands. Now, there are two stories of different accounts that where he feeds fish and loaves, okay? So this is one of the accounts. They go in and he says, when they began to wear away, 12 came and he said, send the multitudes away and go into the surrounding cities and the towns and lodge and provisions and deserted place. He says, give them something to eat. And he says, we do not have fish and loaves to feed them, but we only have fish and loaves unless we go and buy food for these people. So they're saying, you want me to feed all these people, Jesus, but we only got fish and loaves. That's all we could find when we went around looking for it. That's all we got. And you know what he says to them? For there were 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. Now, don't you just love him? I think that's very motherly of him. I mean, I would do that with my kids. Now, if you want something, you need to sit down, okay? We're gonna do this organized because we're not going to have some little chaos going on here, you little devils. Like, you know? This is what we're going to do. We're going to get them in groups of 50 so it's easier to manage. So he's in his mind. He's already ticking away. He knows what he's going to do, right? I just love that. So you just give it to God, right? Because he already provides, he already knows the plan. So he's giving them the plan. I love this. Then he says, make them sit in 50. And then they sit, so they did so, and then he made them all sit down. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and he broke them, and he gave them to the disciples and set them before the multitudes. And so they all ate and they were filled. I love that. And they were filled and they were filled. Listen, more than enough, right? They were filled. God provided for every need. You think that whatever's going on in your bank account, God ain't in charge of that? He's not going, ooh, I wonder what's going on. Maybe there's a piece of it you need to start doing. They were obedient. That's why they got their miracle. Sorry, all these little side notes. They were obedient. That's why he could provide. They were obedient. Are you obedient? Are we obedient? Do we kind of ignore certain things that we know God's telling us to do? I know there's times I do, and God always has to bring me back to what he first told me, and then he provides. But he has to bring me back to where I had to go. I had to start all over again and take that path again because I was disobedient. But these men, they just listened to what he said, and this is what they got. They were filled, right? I love this. And they were filled. And so they all ate, they were filled, and the 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. Leftovers! I'll take some leftovers! I will. You remember the woman with the crumb? Oh, but just the crumb, if I could just get the crumb from Jesus' table. Oh, I'll take the leftovers, God. Listen, he's not calling you to leftovers. He's saying, listen, I got it all. You'll have leftovers, and you can give that away, but I haven't called you to leftovers. I've given you the whole piece, the whole bread, the whole fish, the whole loaf, but I need you to do your part. I need you to do your part. See, what is my part? I don't know. I don't know what your part is. I don't know what every individual life is calling for in here. But I know that my part is, when it's not working, I got to go back into my prayer closet, and I got to get with my king and go, what did I not do?
What were you not happy with me about?
Well, he does give me lists. And then I got to repent, you know, move on. Then we got the power flowing again. We got the connection going on there. And then I got the prosperity happening in my life. Because you know what? There is a purpose for everything he does. It is an accountability. If he just gave you everything. Have you ever seen a kid? You probably have them. That mama buys them everything they want just to shut them up. Oh, I love watching those moms in the store. I'm like, don't give that kid that toy. That kid is throwing and tipper, and you're going to give him the toy. You know, no, bad, bad. Now that kid's going to run your life. Like, that's how Jesus is. He's like, I'm not going to give you everything you need because you're going to just think that you did it. You're not going to understand where your source is from. You're not going to understand that there is some steps and hard work that have to come with what you're doing. There has to be a price that is paid because I paid a hard price and I paid a good price and I paid a righteous price so that I can give you what you want. But if you're going to be a rebellious, disobedient child, I'm not going to give that to you. I will provide for every need because that's who I am. I will be that for you because that's who I am. But if you're not who you are, Jessica, if you're not who you are, I can't. I love you and I want to, but I can't. Let's not tie the hands of God. Girls, I've tied the hands of God so many times. I know you've tied the hands of God so many times. But I believe God is saying, can you just listen? Can you just know my son and know what I've given you so that when you walk into a room, everything changes? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he is the same forever. And I believe that what he did back then, what we just read about, right? And that was like an nth of what he's done, okay? What he's done is just an nth of what he has and what he's done for us. Do you guys kind of get him a little bit more today now that we kind of walked through the scriptures? You know, that's just not for the New Testament people, but that's for us today. And he left us the Holy Spirit when he went. And I could have gotten all into this, like the whole, like, go to hell, get the keys of death and death, go to, I mean, seriously, I was there and my husband was like, "Ooh, come back. We're going to talk about Easter in a second." Like, but I'm excited. You know, I'm excited because what he did for us and who he is and who am I? Really? Who am I? Oh, and you know what he said to me? I know who you are. And he said, and just like you need me, I need you. Isn't that cool to know that he needs you? And you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And you know what else he needs? He needs your children. He needs your babies. Because God has a purpose and a call and a destiny for those that love him. Those that call him Jesus Christ. And I just believe that we no longer need to walk into a room not knowing who we are, but we need to walk into the room with the confidence of knowing who our Savior is. And because of who you are, God, I will then be confident in who I am. And when the devil and the wiles of the devil come up at me and I'm like, I'm going to pull out my shield. I'm going to get out my sword and I'm going to begin fighting. And I'm going to be whacking away at what the devil wants to take me and my family down. Because listen, girls, people don't like to tell you this. In the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, we will tell you this. You're in a battle. And you won't ever stop fighting this battle until you get to be with Jesus. So you might as well learn how to be a fighter, right? You say, well, I don't want to fight. Okay, then be attacked. Then be taken down. Or allow your soul to be awakened because we serve a big God. And we fight. Because if he can do it, and he left it to us, and he said, I love this, he said that we will do greater things than what he, that's crazy to me. Greater things. I wonder if we're going to get to heaven and he's going to play back our lives, right? And I wonder if we're going to go, I didn't realize that was such a big deal, but I'm really glad I did that. You know, like, I just wonder if we don't really even know what it is and the destiny and the purpose and the lives that we're touching as a body of Christ, I bet you we have no idea. But when we get to heaven, we're going to get to see it all.